Check out past episodes, transcripts, blogs, and more on our website, dojo.nearsoft.com. Hello and welcome to Dojo Live this Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. My name is Kim Lantis and it's my pleasure to be hosting alongside today with America Guerrero.
Hey Kim, hey Trevor. Nice to see you again, Kim. It's been a while.
It's been a while. We got to take a bit of a break over the spring holidays, so that's been nice. And of course, Trevor, thank you for joining us today on Dojo Live. Folks, Trevor is the president and CEO of LodgeLink. We look forward to the conversation today.
Well, thank you for having me, Kim, America. Very nice to meet you.
Yes, it's our pleasure, truly. And it's going to be a really fun conversation today because we're looking at transforming workforce travel, which is a bit of a shift from what we've been talking about here lately in our travel and hospitality focus. You know, most of the time, I think when we're thinking of travel, hospitality, it's more for pleasure, vacation, right? Rather than business. So I'm really excited about sort of this take, particularly kind of growing up in Montana myself with a father who worked remotely in that workforce with a natural gas company. It's going to be a cool conversation because we're really focusing on innovative solutions that are reshaping the mobilization of workforce crews. But before we dive into that, Trevor, we'd like to get to know you a bit better. Sort of what's your story, your experience, and how that led up to your time with LodgeLink?
Yeah, and thank you again. Very quickly, by way of background, I would describe myself as an entrepreneur. So I think from very early in life, I was interested in business. And as a kid, I was the kid with the paper route and with mow lawns and removal in high school. I employed some of my friends in my industrial cleaning, landscaping companies, all that kind of stuff. So
nice.
I think LodgeLink is a continuation of sort of a long interest in business. After college, I went to University of Toronto. So I am a Canadian, a Canuck, if you will, and not far from Montana, actually. We're here in Calgary, Alberta today, just waiting for some snow here in April.
I know, it's so unfair. And actually, that's probably an interesting conversation to talk about as we talk about weather anomalies and things that can also impact workforce travel. But before we get into the weather, let's talk about LodgeLink. Who are you and what's the problem that you're solving?
Yeah, I think to understand LodgeLink and how we've come to focus on this problem would be bit of a continuation of, post-college, I ended up, well, I did a few things in the financial sector, audit and trading and brokerage, credit, et cetera. And then when I was looking to go to law school, trying to find my place, I connected with a company I had worked for while I was at college, and they're in the modular building industry, quite a large company. They asked me to help out on a project in Algeria, basically some logistics management. I decided to stay with them. And so I worked all the way through the business, literally from factory floor through procurement, estimating, project management, sales management, and ended up based in Houston, overseeing a good part of their international business. So we had factories in Budapest and Cairo and Santiago and Australia. And on a personal note, that's where my love and fascination with travel began. I did business in, I think, close to 50 different countries in that period of time.
No way.
But I also learned, I learned an industry. I learned a business from the ground up and was reasonably successful there. Left there because I had sort of the entrepreneurial drive and bought a concrete company with a friend of mine. 35 employees when we bought it, 350 employees a couple of years later, doing all kinds of real estate development,
wow.
Condominium towers, et cetera. But then on the side, started a man camp rental company, and that became Black Diamond, which is the parent company of LodgeLink. And so that business was quite successful. We grew very quickly. We went public in 2006 on the Toronto Stock Exchange and built out a platform, which today we've got about 17,500 modular buildings, Australia, US, Canada. We do a couple of things, but what's really ties to LodgeLink is we're in the business of putting together man camps for typically large resource or remote infrastructure projects. And so our challenge was to use modular buildings to create those living environments. So the dormitories, kitchen, dining, recreation facilities in the middle of nowhere. And you touched on this, Kim, with some of the type of work your father did. And so the challenge is we need to house all these people in a remote area to build something. Could be a large oil and gas or mining facility, et cetera. And what we bring to the table is we know how to do that. So we know all the codes, et cetera. And we can take the physical asset, move it to a remote location, put it all together, figure out how to feed people, how to generate power, how to handle waste, where to get potable water. And then when it's all done, take it all apart and move it away to wherever the next project's going to be. And increasingly now, the expertise on how to remediate those sites, so that the disturbance to our environment is almost unnoticeable. So that was the expertise of Black Diamond. We're very successful at it. One of the questions that our customers continue to ask us is, would you help us with the full travel management cycle? So increasingly to get specialized trades, they come from farther and farther away, or to get the number of trades you need on some of these big complicated projects. And so you've got all this complication of itineraries, planes, buses, matching up with hotels, man camps, everything in there, along with, how do we verify for payment? How do we reconcile invoice? How do we track costs? How do we match up with I talk with my hands a lot, but how do we match up with how things change on our roster and when people shift, et cetera. And so we looked at it and, for a number of years, we saw a couple of very rudimentary use cases. And then when things were quite slow in our primary business, we decided as a way to get our company growing again, that we're going to try and do this. So in our case, we understand the customer really well. We understand the type of traveler. We understand where they're going to. What we needed to figure out is, well, how can you automate and remove the inefficiencies and build those tools that these businesses need for managing this type of travel? And you pointed out it's a very different travel problem than leisure travel or even business travel in its other forms, which would be more briefcase travel instead of, it's a simplification, but it helps get the point across: hard hats and boots versus briefcases and suitcases. Not entirely fair to the people who travel on workforce today, because there's a lot of very specialized skills involved. But
of course,
it's a way to think of the differentiation of what we're focused on versus, other sectors of travel.
It seems like a very interesting and phenomenal marrying of the blue collar, white collar world. And I absolutely love it. Yeah. I'm also very impressed just by the pivot and the recognizing, right, just on the business side of this gap and how to fill it. And, I guess one of my first questions is, who is using LodgeLink? Is this going to be the travel managers? Is this the finance team, the crews themselves? And with those users, how did you come about kind of deciding what your product and your platform was going to look like? We've talked about recently on the show this design-led thinking and needing to have this empathy and understanding problems from a whole bunch of different angles in order to decide which problems are most critical, which ones are worth even solving in the first place, and which ones maybe can either, be backburnered or perhaps even ignored altogether. So who are your users and what was that kind of journey like?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And, you know, a very quick answer is everybody you just mentioned is a user, because within our customers, you know, especially those who are moving larger amounts of crews. And if you think of our big customers today, railroads, highline power maintenance companies, big construction companies, certainly oil and gas service companies, mining service companies. So in many cases, they'll have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of employees, and they're broken down by crews, and they're moving crews to where the work is. So if you think about that, finance has a concern here because we need spend control and visibility, and also the ability to forecast future costs, et cetera. Procurement within these companies, obviously, but then it's the operations team who's actually having to move the crews around and deal with the day-to-day issues. And, you know, if you think of, you know, this crew was supposed to go to this next job next, but they've been held up on the one they're on, so we're going to change out who's going to that next job, and we have to rebook all of the hotel rooms, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very fluid, dynamic interaction that our customer has with this problem. And then within the customer, there are different stakeholders, if you will, related to different aspects of what I just talked about. So when we went to, you know, we did a use case with one or two customers, that was pretty straightforward. But then when we thought about building the first iteration of the full platform, we needed to define personas. And the persona that we zeroed in on to begin with is the booking administrator. So it's somebody within the customer whose job it is to sort of match after operations has decided this crew going here, now make sure all the bookings are done. And so we focused there first to enable them with a better set of tools to be able to support more effectively the operations of the customer, and even to try and improve the experience of the individual crew members. At the end of a long day, you don't want to be standing in a hotel lobby because the reservation wasn't done properly, et cetera. I mean, you want to get to your room, you want to get to something to eat. So it goes through the whole organization, but that's the persona that we determined that our solution would have the biggest impact in terms of efficiency and performance.
I hear that there is a lot of logistics, right, in this process, payment process and everything. I'm curious if in this psychological aspect of these travelers, is there any stakeholder, or what do you do in this specific aspect? Because I think that it must be hard for someone who is leaving family, for example, and is traveling to the other side of the country in another, in a different place where the weather is going to be different, and that could be like, there could be an impact in the mind of that traveler. So are you involved in that somehow?
We do offer duty of care products to our customer, which helps to alert of weather events, potential impacts, delayed connections, et cetera. Partly for the individual traveler, so they've got some forewarning of what their experience is going to be like today. Okay, well, doesn't mean you're not going to sit in an airport waiting for a connection, but I guess you knew ahead of time. But also our customer in terms of trying to find alternate arrangements to be more efficient with the time of the crew itself. As we think about what we can do with this platform over time, we very much think about providing services or even just the basics of information in a mobile format through our app to the individual travelers. But if they're interested for local establishments to offer services, we can have a pizza delivered to your room 15 minutes after you get there type of thing. So there's a lot of ideas of interacting with the individual traveler if they're interested to provide some additional services to them. But at this point, we're really focused on the company itself who are employing these people and trying to provide a suite of services. You know, there's some difficulties in the way that travel is automated today, because it's mostly built around individual travelers or small group travel. So when we think about solving for group, larger group bookings and how to manage an itinerary of say 30 people as if it's one booking versus, you know, an individual or a family traveling, there is a lot our software has to do in terms of working around or working with the global distribution systems or through direct connects with the hotels, et cetera, to be able to provide to our customer what they're trying to accomplish. And so that's where the complexity of the software itself sits today. And if you think of what we're offering to our customer, we have the booking platform where, you know, the supply side, which would be hotels, man camps, extended stay properties, we've got about we've got over 14,000 of them today. And then you have the demand side, which are the companies going in trying to book according to where they need their crews to be. And then being able to verify that booking, settle it, where we reconcile everything, and then we aggregate invoicing for our customer. We offer them working capital, so you know they pay us in 30 days, but we pay all the hotels at point of use, et cetera. So we built the payment system internally so we can efficiently pay and make sure it's within the parameters set by the booking that our customer made. So we have all that going on. And then over top of it is this workflow software. We're giving the tools for, as your crew list changes, how does that automatically change the names on rooms, and how do we handle the rotation cycle? So in most cases, crew members will work 10 days on and then they'll have 4 days off, et cetera. But the crew continues to run on that project. So you have to constantly be changing names on hotel rooms, all of that. So that's our software sitting over top with workflow tools. So when you put them both together, so you've got, or all three, you've got the payment system, you've got the workflow for managing logistics, and then you've got the actual booking marketplace, and then you integrate it all together. I mean, it's a fairly complicated undertaking that LodgeLink has embarked on.
I love how you understate a fairly complicated. Isn't that fairly complicated? It's very complicated, and I can only imagine what this used to look like, or probably in a lot of cases still does look like, for these travel managers, the procurement folks, managing spreadsheets with hundreds of names, hoping that you've gotten all the information correct. Oh shoot, this person was just married and now their last name's different, or I don't know, passports and identification and all of this stuff. And then, oh shoot, snowstorm in April. Sorry, folks, you're grounded. I can only get 10 people on this plane. Who are the 10 that I need to choose? Ah, like, so this is wild. And I really appreciate, I think it's great that you also have LodgeLink there is that like payment buffer in terms of customer service, because my guess is if there is a problem, you're there to kind of deal with the headache and your clients don't actually have to do that.
Exactly. So our service model, you know, we're trying to make the tools as intuitive as possible and work with our customers and the booking managers, et cetera, so that they can, for the most part, look after their own requirements. But we have a team 24/7 who can deal with problems or complicated transactions that our customers need to make, etc. So yeah, we're there in the background to make sure that whatever they need to get done or problem solved, we're there to solve. And quick to point out, part of what we're automating for is to remove some of our own manual processes. So where the software can't yet do it, we're offering the service of doing it for you. So it's very dynamic. There's a lot going on, but it's a very large addressable market. Our estimate is about $70 billion a year spent by companies for workforce travel in North America alone. So, and you caught it on like the essence of it, you articulated really well. Our customer is doing this with sort of a disparate set of tools, and then trying to fit it all together with spreadsheets, et cetera. So that's where we think we add value, to remove the inefficiency, you know, or improve the efficiency.
Absolutely. It's an absolutely massive market, much larger than I had in my mind. 70 billion with a B in North America alone. It doesn't even count, you know, crews traveling to, I don't know, Saudi Arabia and other places. But it's even now, and with green energy, I can imagine that that's only going to grow, because it's not just oil and gas now. We've got wind farming and all this other stuff that's just getting started. What's your anticipation for this growth in terms of workforce travel?
Well, we've been growing, you know, close to 70% per year on a net revenue basis, and we think in terms of the size of the market, certainly there's room for us to continue to grow at a very fast clip. You know, we're getting to a point where and you hear this from transaction SaaS platforms, where you get to this point where suddenly you get compounding network effects, and then you start capturing more market because the market starts coming to you versus the more aggressive external sales process. So we haven't got to that point yet. It's probably a good thing, because we would like our software to be sort of more complete and robust before we get to that point. But we fully expect that that is a possibility here, or a likelihood, as we continue going. And you touched on some other use cases. I mean, we're solving for group travel. We did do one project for a disaster relief agency last year, which becomes really interesting. You need to move a lot of people very quickly. You need access to capacity. You need to see total volume, and you need to be able to book in large bookings. So we think that's another area that what we're solving for, larger group travel, could be applied as well.
So yeah, and in a use case where time is even of more of the essence. Go ahead, America.
With all of these factors to consider, I'm curious which one is like the most hard to not fix, to work on. So for example, capacity, large booking, that is a challenge, right? But out there, what else? For example, if there is a project that is going to be like far, far away, that is also part of the challenge. Or is that something that is changing with technology that is no longer an issue? I mean, what's like that huge factor that it's been like a challenge in the industry for you?
One of the challenges is just how much needs to be done all at once. So there's that challenge of, you know, it's all integrated. So we built this piece, but, you know, we need to build this piece for it all to work together. So there's a bit of that. I would say one of the biggest challenges we have is what we call one to many. So that is creating one itinerary for a large group of people. But when we interconnect with the distribution system, you know, the Sabres and Amadeus of the world, or even through Direct Connects, we need to break that down to each room or each airline seat, et cetera, has a specific name. And when you're constantly editing and changing names, and being able to provide to our customer so that they're managing one itinerary, one crew, and as the changes are made in their HR system, they just automatically flow through. So that interconnection and the tie into the broader travel ecosystem is where the complexity lies. I think that's sort of the crux of the group travel automation problem. And so that's where we spend a lot of time, and we absorb a lot of big brains in looking at different ways to do that. But it's also what becomes super interesting, trying to solve those type of problems.
Absolutely. And, you know, it brings me to this question. You've thrown out a lot of big players, big names out there, you know, starting with the GDSs, but also then you mentioned, I think, 14,000 different providers for lack of a better word, is that the right word, that you work with? I imagine there's huge names, you know, airlines, massive hotel chains, and everything else.
Insurance.
What about the small places? How have you seen this in terms of who are you able to partner with? Because, you know, I'm imagining crews in these small towns and, you know, very rural areas where it's just a mom pop type of motel that's been there for the last 60 years. Are you able to tap in and service these types of providers as well? Is it something that you're working toward, or something that's perhaps not even
That's a very on point question, because where our customers are needing to move, and the fact that you need to take labor to where the work is, that tends to be non-urban, where there's less infrastructure, you can't find the trades locally. And so that tends to be smaller markets or secondary, tertiary markets, where for us to solve the problem, sometimes we have to use more than one property. So the 14,000 are actual properties. So think of hotels as the best example. We're interacting with the hotel brands, the chains themselves, and many of them have smaller market property types, et cetera. But we're also interacting with the property owner, not just the brand. And so we may make an arrangement with the property owner themselves, because we know we're putting a lot of volume through. There are a few properties in small towns where we represent 90% of their booking volume per year. And so we interact directly with those properties, and then also picking up so that for our customer, we can offer them visibility to all of the capacity in a market. We do want the small local operator or hotel owner, because that becomes a choice for our customer. So then you think about differences in sophistication of CRSs and PMSs, et cetera, and our need to be able to interconnect and be able to pay them, et cetera. So that also adds layers of complexity, but it's important for our customers, especially the larger ones. They need to see as much coverage as possible in a market, and that's one of the things we bring to them. And then think of it the other way. You know, we're very valuable to certain hotels and hotel chains because we bring large booking volumes into smaller markets. And so,
and even in off season,
well, and especially in off season,
right? Because that's when a lot of these crews are doing their work, because nobody wants to disrupt, right, the high season. I absolutely love that. I'm curious, in terms of this large amounts of data, large connectivity that you have to do, how are you utilizing this a lot on the cloud now, or has it always been cloud, or have you had to make that transition?
It's entirely cloud-based in Azure, so we mostly use Microsoft-related products, so things are more readily integrated within our system. So we're handling a lot of data. We're intent on storing all the data that is not proprietary to our customer or supplier. Because we think the analytics that we can provide in terms of market dynamics, even to a certain degree, broad-based pricing, obviously we wouldn't share anything specific. It just becomes really interesting for those people who are trying to manage group travel into certain areas, or even the properties themselves, understanding the market and you know, being more precise in how they price markets at different times. So we think that's all of value. We haven't, you know, gone very far down that road of how to provide, you know, the analytical services as a product. But we think eventually that's another valuable part of what we're
doing. Absolutely. But in the immediate, I suppose it gives you, at least as LodgeLink, the ability to adapt and shrink or grow as you need without having to worry about, you know,
from a cloud-based perspective.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we are, and we're able to sort of adjust the availability of, you know, of cloud bandwidth, et cetera, that we need based on what's happening. Because we also see some seasonality, some cyclicality, and so trying to figure out how to manage the infrastructure efficiently is we have part of our team that's focused on that problem. So we want to make sure that our system runs super fast for our customers, et cetera. But we also need to be aware of the variability.
Absolutely. You know, I cannot believe we've actually come down to the final few minutes of our show today, Trevor. Time flies when you're having fun. And I think you talked about figuring out how to manage, right? Which is the question of the ages. But with that, I guess the final question for you is, what sort of tips or advice might you leave for other entrepreneurs or people in the business and your experience, you know, of just discovery, pivot, knowing or seeing what's worked, maybe what hasn't, you know, what would you encourage others to do and maybe learn from you as to not do?
Yeah, I mean, I've made my share of mistakes over the years, but I would say there's a couple of things that will define success in any endeavor, any organization. It has to do with the quality of the people and values. And what I find as I've sort of matured in my business career, values aren't just what you write on the wall. Values are how you behave, and culture is an outcome. Not, you don't start with culture, and you get the culture you deserve. But if you behave according to the way to those values you think are important for your customer and for attracting the best people, I think if you're very mindful of that, you will find yourself surrounded by talented people who are excited about the mission you're on and willing to help do the work. So I would say that, you know, the secret sauce of LodgeLink and what's going to make it immensely successful in the future, as it has been to date, is the people who have decided to come and believe me in this crazy idea. Let's automate large group travel. How hard could it be?
Beautiful.
How hard could it be? And I think that's awesome, because that's also something that probably reverberates and is felt by all of the companies that you're working with, because whether it's, you know, travel for fun or travel for work, we are people, right? And at the end of the day, we like to take our boots off and relax. And so that's always going to be.
Yeah, we remind ourselves we're a service company. I mean, we're a transaction SaaS company in LodgeLink, all of our other company, we serve customers. And so it's got to be about people, but also about performance. We want to meet the grade in terms of we promised we'd be able to achieve this for you. We're intent on achieving it for you. So you couple those together, and somewhere in there, you sort of get the magic exponent of when good people in a good culture, great outcomes. And so we're focused on trying to do just that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Trevor, for your time today with us here on Dojo Live. We would definitely love to have you back and see how this $70 billion industry, North America only, is evolving, and just how, you know, all these ideas and this roadmap that you've got laid out kind of come to play, because it is a tremendous amount of logistics that you are helping handle, making the lives easier for companies and crews. So thank you very much. We wish you and LodgeLink nothing but success as you keep moving forward.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, America. Great having a conversation with you. I'd love to come back in future, and I wish you all the success with your venture as well. So
thank you. Thank you very much. You know, stick around here as we go off air. But before we do, I'd just like to let our audience know that Trevor's show is the only show that we've got this week on Dojo Live. It looks like we'll be taking a break the following week as well. But up next on Tuesday the 16th, we're going to be speaking with the company Holly Bob. So go ahead and check that out. And we'll be also kicking off this month our second series with ProVision Partners as we take a look at AI in action, particularly in the hospitality industry. So keep here with us. And of course, you can always check out dojo.live for past interviews and audios as well in the meantime. So thank you so much, everyone. Have a great rest of your week and bye for now.
Thank you.
This is Dojo Live, Tech Without Borders, stories that bring us together.